Good Times for Wall Street.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Investors are waking up on the right side of the bed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the day at its highest level in 6 years. A big reason, a rather encouraging quarterly report from General Motors. The automaker only lost $323 million. The Dow is now closing in on its lifetime high, which it hit in January of 2000. You can bet the more technology-driven NASDAQ will shoot up this morning. That's because Google had a monster quarter. Its shares jumped 7% in after-hours trading. Here's Lisa Napoli.
Everyone is gaga for Google again. The search engine giant said in the first quarter it earned $592 million, a 79% surge in revenue over last year. Tech columnist Bambi Francisco of MarketWatch says Google's growing twice as fast as rival Yahoo.
On a quarter-over-quarter basis, it grew its advertising sales by 19% versus Yahoo search advertising sales 9%.
Francisco says Google's got nearly half of the search query market. Still, only 4% of all advertising dollars are spent online right now. But the market's growing about 30% a year, and that could mean Google will continue to grow. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The U.S. government sent a stern message to this country's employers yesterday with a raid on a shipping supply company. The message, hire illegal immigrants and you will pay for it. But as Alex Cohen reports, many businesses have little choice but to keep flouting the rules.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says it has no tolerance for companies who employ undocumented immigrants, a message driven home this week with raids and arrests in 9 states. But many employers can't afford to heed that message, says Michael Brandel, an economist at the University of Texas.
It's going to be very difficult for them to be able to get American citizens to do the jobs that the undocumented workers are doing, including things like stapling together pallets, picking fruits, washing dishes, these types of things.
Brandel says immigrants are a boon to the economy, but others disagree. Some economists argue that such laborers burden the U.S. by taxing schools and healthcare systems. And some say an increase in immigration has driven down American wages, especially in the fields of construction and landscaping. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
The people who work for Delta Airlines aren't feeling much love lately. The company's bankrupt. It wants employees to take pay cuts. And now it's asking 50,000 workers to clean the airplanes at night without pay. That means scraping the gum from the tray tables and cleaning the lavatories. The company says these so-called clean days are a chance for employees to show pride in the airline. And they'll also get a free shirt. We don't know what it'll say, but we have a suggestion. I helped Delta stay in business, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. So the Dow closed up 64 points to 11,342. The NASDAQ fell 8 to 2362. The S&P 500 rose a point to 1311. Another day, another record for crude oil prices. They hit $73.50 a barrel in trading overseas. Time to get that bicycle out of the garage, don't you think? This is Marketplace. In honor of Earth Day tomorrow, we revisit that old question at the supermarket checkout counter. Here's Marketplace's Brian Watt.
Paper or plastic? The question shoppers face every day also puts the environment in a tough spot. Consumers may think passing on paper saves trees, but Andy Keller says there's a trade-off. An estimated 60 million barrels of oil a year get used to produce 500 billion plastic bags. Many of those eventually wind up in landfills.
If everyone were to tie their annual consumption of plastic bags together, it would go around the earth 37 times.
So Keller's created the Chico bag. It's made of nylon, costs about $5, and folds up small and neat so you can keep it with you and reuse it more than 1,000 times.
That would save a tremendous amount of plastic bags from being entered into the waste stream.
Still stumped at the checkout counter, I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic. Alleviating pain. Restoring health. Extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Canker. First of all, what an ugly word. And it's a devastating problem for citrus growers in Florida. They'd love to get rid of the plant disease, but a new rule designed to do just that could put a lot of those nurseries out of business. Judith Smelzer reports.
Over the past 2 years, Florida's $9 billion a year citrus industry has been fighting a mostly losing battle against two destructive plant diseases, citrus canker, a bacteria, and citrus greening, which is spread by insects. Now, the industry wants to make sure that at least the beginning of the production cycle, the citrus nurseries are disease-free. Late last year, University of Florida citrus expert Jim Graham helped organize a committee to study ways to protect them.
The nurseries that were producing trees outdoors, that is under no kind of protection, were the ones that were being most exposed to canker.
So Graham's committee recommended that nurseries build insect-proof screen enclosures for all their trees. The Florida Department of Agriculture has adopted that recommendation into a new set of proposed regulations. But for many nurseries, the cure will be deadlier than the disease.
It could cost between $20 and $40 or $50 million.
Greg Holmberg is one of more than 100 people who packed into a public hearing on the proposed rule earlier this month. He and his family own a nursery southeast of Tampa. If they have to build screen enclosures for all their trees, he says, they'll be forced to close down.
I mean, I could go into construction, I could go to Disney World and go to work or something. I don't know. We're spending every waking moment and losing sleep by trying to, you know, fight this and trying to educate people how it's going to affect us.
Experts like the University of Florida's Jim Graham say the proposed rules could force at least half of Florida's nurseries out of business. Nursery owner Philip Rux is one of the lucky ones, though. This screened structure, complete with sprinklers at his nursery in Central Florida, is one of the few in the state that would meet the proposed standards.
In this room, there's probably 30 different varieties. We have more of some than the others because of demand. You know, we have
the rest of his nursery would have to be upgraded, but he's still planning to stay in business. He's even taking the opportunity to build a new and larger facility, but he'll have to give up some of his independence to do it.
It's probably too big of a risk for me to do on my own. It's just something that we've decided we would pursue to have a limited partnership with some growers.
Jim Graham with the University of Florida says that type of arrangement will become commonplace under the new state rules.
The shape of the nursery industry is going to change. We're going to have fewer nurseries, probably larger nurseries. Those nurseries will be probably hooked up with larger companies, and whereas before they were independent private nurserymen.
The second and final public hearing on the proposed rule is scheduled for later today. In Orlando, I'm Judith Smelser for Marketplace.
If you just can't get enough of this program, or you want to sleep in some days, no problem. We are podcasting. Check it out online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
It's officially the first church.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.